Welcome back to the Take Flight Podcast with John Melton, where we discuss travel, teaching English abroad, and maximizing your income. For those of you new to the podcast, I'm John Melton. I'm an English major. I'm a world traveler. I've taught English abroad, and I'm here to show you all of my tips and tricks. So welcome on board, and let's get this show rolling. How's everybody doing today? Back with another episode, Take Flight Teaching, episode 11. Glad to have you back. You know, a large percentage of podcasts don't even make it to the ninth episode, so I'm just happy to be here, and I'm happy I still got listeners. Today, we want to talk about a few things. For instance, the goal is to go abroad and maximize your income, at least if you're listening to this podcast. Now, if you just want some traveling tips and teaching tips, you can get that from this podcast as well. But I like to try to get the most bang for the buck for your trip or if you're staying a while. So what you want to do is, first off, you want to try to negotiate some overtime hours or some work outside of the school. In Asia, which is where most of the money is, sometimes in certain countries it can be difficult to have multiple jobs. Like it's actually technically illegal on your visa, according to which visa you have, which is, I think, most of them. But anyways, when you're teaching, sometimes you'll be at a learning center, and oftentimes they're going to try to get you to do things outside of the class. For instance, I have done promotions at libraries. They've even had us go and put up like the vinyl advertisement posters over windows in different parts of the city. We've had a spelling bee on the sidewalk. I mean, tons of different things. So I made mistakes when this first happened. And I think I mentioned in a previous podcast how they let go of my friend, fired him, and gave me all of his classes. Well, that wasn't in the original contract. So if you do any research on China, which I've researched China, their business practices, I've read, you know, how to influence people and, you know, several self-empowerment books. I study the language of Chinese and I've negotiated with them. And I've found that, as many of you probably already know, for instance, in China and most of Asia, it's about saving face. It's about avoiding the confrontation. So you don't want to come off like a, you know, your average American dickhead and just say, you know, I'm not doing that. That's not in my contract. I'm not doing that, you know, because it's not going to work out well for you. So if, say, for instance, they want you to, on a Saturday, they want you to go, I don't know, they want you to go make paper airplanes for kids in the middle of the sidewalk at a different part of town to promote the school. Okay, say that you've perfected, you know, making paper airplanes your whole life. You know, this is an example. And you love it. You can make one that goes the farthest. All right, well, they're like, you know, you got this talent, so we're going to use this. And the best way that I found to negotiate with these people is not to fire straight back at them, but say they ask you, hey, could you come on Saturday? We have this going on. We need you to show up. So what you say is, oh, wow. You know, I love that opportunity. That sounds great. Who do I turn in my time card to, or who do I turn in the overtime hours to? Is it you, or do I email the accountant? See, there was no... I wasn't being an ass there. I just kind of passed the ball back into his court while establishing some boundaries. He or she will probably give you one of two answers. They'll either say, you know, trying to save face and be nice about it, say, oh, okay, yeah, email the accountant, but they might throw a limit in there, like, just stay 2 hours, all right? When you show up and at 4 o'clock, show at 2, work till 4. Somebody asks you, hey, where are you going? Oh, yes, I already discussed it, that I'm only scheduled to be here from 2 to 4. The second answer that you may get would be something along the lines of they expected you to do it for free. Oh, or, well, it's just normal working hour or something like that. You know, they try to play it off as normal. And what you do is say, oh, that sounds like a great opportunity I'd love to be a part of, but I'm going to have to decline. And, you know, you're still being polite, but you're also drawing those boundaries. What you will find difficult that works against you in these situations especially are coworkers that have no balls, coworkers that have no guts. And you often see that American, British, and Australian teachers or, you know, expats often have the most, I would say, guts or be the most outspoken, but you have to be smart about it. And come at them in a smarter way, because they just do business different than we do. But these coworkers with no guts, they can often make your life harder, because, you know, we're showing up. You know, one guy's with you, he's like, yeah, man, we're not doing that, we're not working for free, and he seems completely on board with you. Meanwhile, he's got paper airplanes in his backpack ready to go along with what they're saying for free. So that plays against you. If someone else is doing within the office and you're not, it just looks bad on you, and they could probably just get rid of you. So you want to make sure that the culture is strong. I'm not saying go plant a bad seed in someone's company, but just let them know, hey, man, you don't need to be getting ran over this way. And you shouldn't be getting ran over yourself. So look out for others, but most importantly, look out for yourself. And that way, you make sure that you get paid. And maybe I'm telling too much off on myself, but in my first negotiation, when I felt like I could get more, I used a tactic that's more American, and it seemed to work for me until it backfired. And that's what was that I told, you know, the owner that there were other schools right down the road that would pay me more, and I wanted to work for her company. Was she willing to match it? And, you know, just kind of like trying to get her to call my bluff. And it got me the raise, but it also got me a ton more work because I probably didn't negotiate it right. So knowing these things beforehand can help you out a ton. All right. Apologize for that little break. Next, let me talk about this week in China. They're celebrating the Chinese New Year, which I'm sure is a little bit different considering all of the COVID things going on. Now, during Chinese New Year, a lot of people clean their house and families gather to eat a bunch of duck and fish and sweets. And children receive happy money in these red envelopes, and they symbolize good luck. And the two-week celebration typically ends with a red lantern, and colorful lights are hung throughout the community. And let me tell you, the fireworks are insane. They go night and day, and they keep you up constantly. But at the same time, it's exciting. It's awesome. It's something you never see back in the States. I mean, as far as I know, even in rural towns, fireworks are illegal in some places. So, but the debris and everything is insane afterwards. But good luck getting some sleep. If you're there teaching, especially in a big city, throughout the Chinese New Year, yes, good luck getting some sleep. You might need some baijiu, because you're going to have to knock out and get up to go teach, and people will be shooting fireworks and eating and partying all night long. Or, if you can't beat them, just join them. And not much longer after that, you'll have a Dragon Boat Festival. And that's also a lot of food and a lot of fun and a lot of people. So don't forget, when you travel, you get to also take part in the cultural gatherings and the holidays. And that in itself is a cultural awakening. It is so enlightening and mind-broadening that me explaining it here is just a total injustice of what it can actually do for you. Can actually open your eyes and show you what you're capable of and what's capable to be done out in this world. So, I appreciate you all for tuning in. Catch us again next week on Wednesday. when we will release another podcast, episode 12. Thank you for staying tuned this long. This is John Melton, signing out.